Kicking off hour two of Sportsnet today on this Monday, game day for the Calgary Flames. Flames and the Washington Capitals. Alex Ovechkin and Washington's lone visit to Calgary this season. Heard from head coach Ryan Huska, Jonathan Huberdeau, and Andrew Mangiapane in hour one as we teed up the game. Dustin Wolf gets the start in goal. Joel Hanley in for Nikita Ochocek. We'll have more on the Flames and the Capitals coming up a little bit later on this hour. A quick reminder, 5:30, Flames warm-up with Steinberg, 6:30 puck drop with Derek Wills and Megan Mickelson here on your home of the Flames, Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Fan feedback line open to you at 960-960. And speaking of the Scotiabank Saddledome, it was a busy place last night. Hitmen in action at the Dome. They're trying to keep their playoff hopes alive, and they would do it in dramatic fashion. A thrilling 3-2 overtime victory against the Lethbridge Hurricanes. To chat about the win last night and the season so far for the Calgary Hitmen, very happy to go down the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline and welcome in the voice of the Calgary Hitmen here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Brad Curl joins us. Curly, how are you, pal?
I am outstanding. And yourself, Logan?
I'm great. Thanks for giving some time for us here, pal. Appreciate it. I know you were busy last night. It was a dramatic win for the Calgary Hitmen over the Hurricanes.
Oh, it was a stressful one if you were a Hitmen fan, that's for sure. Their playoff hopes are slim, let's be honest, but they're still very much alive. And the reality is they're 3 points out with three games to go. And the team they're trying to catch, the Prince Albert Raiders, also has three games left. And the matchups are very intriguing. We'll get to that, I'm sure, momentarily. But in order for all of that to come into play, they had to take care of business yesterday. And they did it in record-breaking fashion, and over an 11-year-old franchise record was broke when Maxime Muranov scored just 6 seconds into the first period. Broke the record for the fastest goal in franchise history to start a game. The previous mark held by Brooks Masek, he did it on the road in Brandon back in 2013. So for Muranov, it's just a, hey, Lethbridge wins the draw. He jumps a pass on a D2D, goes up the middle, and he wires one in. And you couldn't have asked for a better start for Calgary. But sometimes when you get an early goal, you may be still celebrating. Next thing you know, it's 1-1. That was not the case. They kept it coming. Carson Wetch, who looks to be very much on the NHL draft radar, played in the CHL, NHL top prospect scheme. He's had a breakout season, gets his 23rd of the year, and it's 2-0 Calgary in the first period, and 2-0 after one. And they played with desperation. They played with hunger. And I thought that was maybe something that was lacking a little bit in Edmonton on Friday. You know, a lot of fans talked to me after the game and said, hey, I watched the game. It didn't seem like Calgary was all that desperate. I mean, they did have a 2-0 lead against the Oil Kings, but then gave up six straight and lost 6-2. But I would tell them that, hey, if you restarted the season in January, the Oil Kings would be a playoff team. They've beaten a lot of teams lately. Edmonton looks to have a pretty bright future, but Calgary, you know, they were able to sustain pressure yesterday against Lethbridge, and that was something they could not do against the Edmonton Oil Kings. Edmonton just got better and better as the game got on. Calgary gave up the second goal. The deficit gets cut to 2-1, and you go to the third period, it's 2-1. Carson Wetch hits a goal post. Chase Valiant has a partial breakaway for the Hitmen. Sawyer Mays is Rob point blank. Really, it's Harrison Menegan and the Lethbridge Hurricanes. The 19-year-old goaltender yesterday was just unbelievable. I thought he was worthy of the first star. Finished with 45 saves. I felt it could have been a 5-6-1 hockey game for the Calgary Hitmen, but Hurricanes got their goaltending, and they got a late goal with a minute 41 to go. Braden Edwards hits the 30-goal mark, and one of those where, okay, you're going to overtime. Playoff points are crucial. You got to get that second one for Calgary, and very similar to the hockey game itself, but they played with that same desperation, Logan, in overtime. They fired 5 overtime shots. Lethbridge did not get a shot on goal in overtime. Reese Hamilton gets his second career overtime playoff winning goal. Or I shouldn't say playoff. That's wishful thinking for the Hitmen at this point. Regular season overtime winning goal. And ironically, both of those have come against the Lethbridge Hurricanes this year. And he did it last night, 3-12 into overtime. And a great crowd yesterday, over 7,000 plus. That building went nuts.
That's great to see. And I'm curious how you feel about this group and how, you know, for some, I know the Calgary Hitmen have struggled to make the playoffs on a consistent basis the last couple of years, but this group really has a new feel to it this year, Brad, and whether or not it winds up being a postseason berth or not, I think if you've watched this team or you've taken some time to see what they're doing, you'd be pretty impressed with what the group's built for such a young group and how important even these games down the stretch are and how happy you are to be playing meaningful hockey at this time of the season, hey?
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. And for those wondering, you know, what is in store for this team moving forward, I think the sky is the limit. They made some very tough decisions. You know, as you mentioned, for a lot of years since we broke out of COVID, it's kind of been a team trying to find a way to get into the playoffs. And last year, that was a goal. They got in, but then they lost in five games to Red Deer. And I think a lot of people looked around and go, was there a lot of enthusiasm and excitement in that? You know, getting into the playoffs and then losing in the first round, is that the path you want to take, is try and scrape in every single year? And I think they took the discussion as a management group and said, no, we don't want to be that team. We want to be a team that's going to get back to the Calgary Hitmen of early years. When you look at year three in the franchise, they won the WHL crown in 1999. They won it again in 2010. Now, they were poised to maybe go deep in the playoffs, and then COVID reared its ugly head in 2020, and there was no postseason that year. And they had a loaded roster, and they had built for that year. And then afterwards, as we know, we kind of had a couple of seasons that were vanilla. The first one was just, let's find a way to get the players on the ice for development. And then after that, it was a situation where the Calgary Hitmen were trying to find a way to get into the playoffs. They had missed and then got in last year. So I think they looked at it and go, hey, just getting in isn't good enough. We want to build a championship team here in Calgary. And to the credit of the management group, under Mike Moore, the vice president and governor, and the general manager, Gary Davidson, they made those hard decisions, along with the scouting staff, determined that, okay, at the trade deadline, we're not going to add and see if we can sneak this Hitmen team into the playoffs like years past. We're going to sell out some pieces. And we saw two very important pieces go. Captain Tyson Galloway goes for a couple of draft picks. Sean Chagall goes out for a couple of draft picks. But that was just a continuation of what we saw all year long, whether it's 19-year-old Carter McAdams, 19-year-old Graydon Seatman, 18-year-old London Hoylett. It was a trend from watching this Hitmen team all year long, was to build around the youth. And here we are now as we sit and talk, Logan. You're talking about a 23-player roster. 12 of those players are rookies. In a league that the age group is 16 to 20, the Calgary Hitmen have an average age of 17.5. They're essentially a U18 team playing in the Western Hockey League. And here we are talking about a Hitmen team with three games to go in the regular season still trying to scrap its way into the playoffs. So I really like what they've done. They've identified this promising, talented young group that they have, and they are building around it for the future. We'll see if it pays dividends down the road, but it certainly looks like it's got a ton of promise.
Talk to me about Carter Yakimchuk, Brad, because so many people obviously have this guy on their radar. He's had a tremendous season. He's going to be a first-round pick in the NHL draft coming up this year, and that can be stressful for a young man, and we've seen that plenty of times. The draft year can get to guys, right, knowing that there are scouts and people watching your game on a night-to-night basis. And I don't know if you feel the same way, but I really haven't seen that effect on Carter this season. He's been such a big part of what they've done, and some of the guys they've moved out, he's just stepped in seamlessly to that role. For everybody who's excited about Carter Yakimchuk in the upcoming draft, what can you tell us from your perspective seeing him on a nightly basis?
Well, you should be excited. First and foremost, he set a franchise record for most goals in a single season by any Hitman defense, and he's obliterated that mark. And you think of the great defensemen they've had come through this organization in previous years. You look to the NHL right now, and you'll see Jake Bean and Travis Sanheim. Paul Postma played in the NHL. Michael Stone, he has outscored all of those defensemen in the numbers that they were able to put up in junior, and there's more along the line. So the talent is there on the offensive side of the puck. 27 goals this year, just a real standout player. He leads all WHL defensemen in that category. And the thing about Yakimchuk, he's not one-dimensional. And by that, I don't mean they get him the puck at the blue line and he loads up bombs and just hammers the puck and finds its way into the back of the cage. No, he can skill you. He can shoot with a hard shot. He can go to work on the rush. He can even go behind the net and score old Lanny McDonald wraparounds if he needs to. He's just such a threat on the ice. And I've talked to a number of NHL scouts about him and said, what do you like about his game? And they say his ability to work a blue line is just unbelievable. His confidence with the puck and his ability to read the play is terrific. His size you love as well as a scout. You know, a right-shot defenseman, as we know, those are very coveted in the National Hockey League. And he's a right-shot D-man, 6'3", 194 pounds. He gets around the ice quite well for a player of his size. And he also, you know, maybe plays a little bit with more risk in your game that you would like to see. But I think a lot of that is the situation that he's in. This is a Hitmen team that, you know, kind of leans on him a lot. And he's come a long way in a short period of time. You think back to last year, he He wasn't on the power play until basically Christmas. So for a year and a half, he's gone from being a 5-6 defenseman to all of a sudden he's a top pairing defenseman in the Western Hockey League. That means he gets all the tough matchups on the other side. Not only, you know, asked to stir things offensively for the Hitmen, but also have to defend some pretty elite players on the other side. There's just so much talent and potential in his game, and I think that's what you like as an NHL scout. The size is there, the shot is there, the instincts are there. Maybe he's a little risky at times, but hey, a lot of that can be changed along the course of time. But I think you got to turn wild horses wild sometimes and let them run. And if you ask Carter Yakimchuk to just stay in the D zone and not carry the puck and just be very cautious, we wouldn't see what we're having this year, which is a 27 goal year. And he has such great hockey IQ in the neutral zone. I don't know how many times you watch the opposition trying to pick their way through the neutral zone, and he's like a defensive back or a cornerback in football. He'll jump the pass, and because he's got you going the wrong way, he's headed at your net. You're heading the other way. It creates chances the other end of the ice. So he's a fun player to watch. He's getting better and better as the game goes on and the year goes on, and I think physically he's still going to mature. You know, 6'3", 194, but I think there's still more strength to come in his game. He's terrific at breaking up cycles in his own zone, and he's got a mean edge to him. There's just so much to enjoy when you watch Carter Yakimchuk play. He's a can't-miss first-rounder, in my opinion, in this draft.
He's taking on a lot of responsibility for this Hitmen team, but as we talked about, Brad, and if you followed the Hitmen, you know, you mentioned the names of Galloway and Chagall and some of those guys that, you know, Hitmen fans would have come to know and love over the last couple of years, but they're gone, and the income have come a lot of these young guys who have taken a big role. Yakimchuk's one of them, but who are some of the other guys that are going to be the faces of the Calgary Hitmen going forward that have started this year in your mind?
Well, we'll start in the 16-year-old group, and I just think there's so much potential in that group. You've got 16-year-old Ben Kindle, who is fourth in WHL rookie scoring. You've got 17-year-old Keats Fawcett, who is 10th in WHL rookie scoring. So we're not talking about, Logan, players that are in their first year in the league and what can they be. These players are already having an impact, with Kindle and Fawcett very much in their top two lines. Ben Kindle recently has been moved to center ice with the injury to David Adizinski. And Ben Kindle, that's his natural position. And you think as a 16-year-old player in the center ice dot that you might get eaten alive in the circle, but he wins 58% of his faceoffs. So he's been terrific on the draw as a young player. And his hockey IQ is off the charts. I think we're talking about a player that could potentially win a WHL scoring race at some point as he grows older. He's just that good a hockey player. On the back end, you know, you look to Airdrie Alberta, and Wyatt Pisarchuk as a 16-year-old has been excellent this year. Reese Hamilton has already worn the Maple Leaf, the 16-year-old defenseman who we talked about off the top with the game-winning goal yesterday. I mean, he's out there in overtime as a 16-year-old. You're fighting for a playoff spot. Normally you go with the old grizzled veterans. No, you put your skill on the ice, and Reese Hamilton has it in spades. He played at the World Under 17 Hockey Challenge with Team Canada. So he's another name that really, I think, excites you if you're a Hitmen fan. And then you look at, you know, just the youth that they've been able to build around in this group and that are having breakout years. Last year they went young. There was a lot of young players, but there are a lot of players that have really stepped forward. You look at, you know, for example, Ethan Moore, who was 17 last year. Well, he had 6 goals last year. Now as an 18-year-old, he's got 17 goals. He's really broken out. Carson Wetch last year as a rookie, he had 10 goals. He's got 23 this year. So you're looking at players that are sophomores that are really stepping forward. You've got youngsters that are playing minutes that are well beyond what both teams ask of any 16 or 17-year-old. And it really gives you a lot of belief that they're getting incredible mileage in key situations already that's going to make them better for it.
I wanted to ask you about Oliver Tulk, because I can't help but watch this season, Brad, go by and think of, you know, maybe the unsung hero title belonging to a guy like Oliver Tulk, who does so much for this team and maybe doesn't get the same attention as maybe some of the either the young guys or the high-end draft pick, you know, potential guys that are on this team. Is Oliver is kind of somewhere in the middle, but man, they wouldn't be where they are without him, hey?
Yeah, he's been absolutely everything you would ask, and he's come a long way. This is just his third season. I remember his first year, he was a 16-year-old center iceman, and I talked to him about, you know, how are you enjoying the Western Hockey League and how's the experience, and he was brutally honest. And that's the one thing I like about, you know, the players at this level, is they're so honest with their answers. And he had said, this is hard. This is a hard, hard league to play in. You can imagine all that time you've spent basically being the same age of everyone else you've had to play against, and you're talking about a player now going against players that are 4 years older. So he confessed about how difficult it was. But they were so happy with the way that he had kind of attacked the game, not timid, just jumped into it. Then Blake Allen went down with an injury, and all of a sudden as a 16-year-old, hey, he's your third-line center. And then last year graduated to the number two center behind Riley Fiedler-Schultz, and now this year he's the number one center. Again, you look around the Western Hockey League at all the teams going to the playoffs, there's not many of them that have an 18-year-old number one center. So Oliver Tulk's got potentially two more years left in the Western Hockey League. And we're talking about a 38-goal scorer. He's just had a remarkable year, tied for 13th in the WHL goal-scoring race. He distributes the puck as well as he shoots it. He's got 75 points, which has him top 30 in the league in scoring. He's an excellent center iceman. And anyone you talk to, doesn't matter if it's a coach, if it's a fan, they'll tell you that he has an NHL-caliber shot, just a really heavy, hard shot. And he'll give you all the miles and give you everything. I just really, really impressed with the way that Oliver Tulk has been able to do so much for the Calgary Hitmen. We're talking about a player that's 5'9", 178 pounds, but he's involved in every part of the fabric of the game. I don't know who they're going to select as their MVP this year. That award ceremony will come up on Saturday during their final regular season home game, but I got to believe that Oliver Tulk will be among that conversation.
He's Brad Curl. He's the play-by-play voice of the Calgary Hitmen here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Three games left for the Calgary Hitmen in the regular season. They're still looking to make a push for that eighth and final spot in the WHL's Eastern Conference. And let's take a look at that race now, Brad, because it's going to come down to some games in the homeland for you as they go. And Saskatoon's going to play a big role in all of this as it's all said and done. Hitmen trying to chase down Prince Albert. They've got two against Swift Current, one against Saskatoon. PA's got a game against Regina, and then back-to-backs with Saskatoon. And, you know, Saskatoon's having themselves a great season. They're heading to the playoffs. We've known that for a very long time. And you might think that's a bad thing for the Calgary Hitmen, but as you and me know watching this Hitmen team this year, I'd actually think that's a good thing because this Hitmen team has a tendency to play up to their opponent. And I think you feel the same way that I do, that they're not afraid to play the big dogs in the WHL. If anything, it kind of excites them sometimes.
It sure does, and it's strange to see because when you talk about a team that's 17 and a half years old, they've got every reason to go, excuse me, can I have your autograph? I'm really impressed by you. But instead, they've gone, no, I don't want your autograph. I want to take you on here. And it's fun to watch. I mean, we're not talking about a weak hockey team. We're talking about the Saskatoon Blades, 99 points. They're number one overall in the WHL against the Hitmen team that has 62 points. Normally you'd say 99 versus 62. Okay, they played four times. What have been the scores? Like 5-2, 6-2, 7-0? No. 3-2 Calgary, 2-0 Saskatoon with an empty netter, 2-1 Saskatoon, 4-3 Saskatoon. So the Hitmen have been right there, and it's strange to say, but hey, they just seem to be a team that just kind of goes in and go, hey, we're going to go out our business and see what happens. But Saskatoon really is in the spot where they can almost, I don't want to say pick their playoff opponent, but they could almost, if they said, okay, we'd like to play Calgary, here you go, Calgary, here's 2 points. We don't want to play PA. They go out and sweep PA in a home-and-home set. They'd never do that because, as we all know in sports, when you try and pick who you want to play, sometimes it blows up in your face. And for Saskatoon, they've still got a lot to play for. They're trying to win the WHL regular season crown. They've got some players chasing some milestones as well. You've got, Igor Sidorov, who has 49 goals. You know, he wants to get to 50. So there's a lot still to play for Saskatoon. But for the Calgary Hitmen, I like that mentality that you talk about, Logan. Just go out there and just play and see what happens. You know, the task will be tough. The Swift Current Broncos, who they were going to get a home-and-home with, that they still have a lot to play for, too. They're trying to hold off the Medicine Hat Tigers for a division crown, currently 3 points up on Medicine Hat. So we'll see if come Saturday if that game has meaning, but we might get some daylight shed on it on Wednesday because Calgary is in Saskatoon and Prince Albert is home to Regina. We'll wait and see how it all shakes down. But, hey, if you're a Hitmen fan, I kind of feel like you're playing with house money right now. This young team that's looking for the future still with a chance to possibly make some noise and get in.
And that Saturday game, regardless of what it means, could be everything to the Hitmen when Swift Current comes to town. But it could just be the culmination of a really fun season, Brad. And you mentioned Sunday. It was such a good one. Sunday fun days are always fun at Hitmen games. But nice to have a Saturday night to close it out against a great opponent. And like I said, we don't know what the result's going to be yet. We don't know what that game's going to mean on Saturday. I hope it means everything to the Hitmen because that would make it for such a fun way to end it. But regardless, I think if you're a Hitmen fan, you're somebody that enjoys, you know, watching hockey in this city and getting out and going back to Hitmen games, Saturday would be the perfect time to go out if you haven't been to a game this year and check out some of those new faces and get a look at Carter Yakimchuk and, you know, see that the future really is bright for this Hitmen team.
Yeah, for sure. And that's the one thing I've really noticed in following the Western Hockey League here in the last week or so is the fact that Carter Yakimchuk is getting so much attention. You go to the NHL scouts room and a lot of the big bosses are out right now. The regional guys have identified that, hey, you want to come watch this guy? And all of a sudden, now it's a plethora of big hockey minds coming. I wouldn't be surprised if there might be an NHL general manager or two in the building on Saturday as well to maybe get eyes on Carter Yakimchuk, based on the fact that this could be the last time you'll get a chance to see him if you're an NHL scout before that June draft. But also, you know, let's remember that Tyson Galloway is coming back to Calgary as a member of the Swift Current Broncos. It'd be pretty cool for that 6 o'clock game on Saturday to for fans to pay tribute to Galloway. That's one thing that the Calgary Sports and Entertainment Corp does such a great job, is paying tribute to former players. And I know they put together the tribute videos. We saw it earlier this year when Sean Chagall made his return as a member of the Lethbridge Hurricanes. Tyson Galloway will lead the Swift Current Broncos in here on Saturday. And he was just a real heart and soul guy, you know, a great first pass defenseman out of Kamloops, BC, kind of played in the shadows a little bit in his younger years behind Yegor Zamula, now in the NHL with Philadelphia, and Jet Wu, as we know, in the American Hockey League with Vancouver's affiliate. You know, and then just as he got older, more and more opportunity. And this year he was a top-pairing defenseman, and they made the difficult decision at the trade deadline to move him out for prospects, a couple of draft picks. So Galloway will make his first ever return to Calgary. It'll be one and only unless somehow these two teams meet in the playoffs.
Looking forward to it, Brad. You got a busy week with some travel mixed in there, pal. Have some safe travel back to the homeland. Enjoy the games this weekend. Hopefully we're talking about a big one on Saturday to close it out. Appreciate you hopping on with me, pal.
Anytime. You know my number. Thank you. Take care.
Thanks, Brad. Brad Curl joining us down the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline this afternoon. He is the play-by-play voice of the Calgary Hitmen here on Sportsnet 960, The Fan. Three games left for the Hitmen: Wednesday, Friday, and Saturday. Wednesday, they head to Saskatoon, into Swift Current on Friday, and then back home for their final home game of the regular season, again against Swift Current, Saturday at 6 p.m. start here at the Scotiabank Saddledome in Calgary. And yes, look, we're talking about a team that's fighting for the last spot in the Eastern Conference playoffs in the WHL, but don't be fooled by that. This is one of the youngest teams in the WHL, and as Brad said at the beginning there, they've made a real culture shift in the direction of the team and saying that, you know, just making it to the playoffs, yeah, we're not going to do that anymore. We're not just going to try to get in. They want to build foundationally. They've sold off a lot of key pieces and actually got better this year. It's been a double win for the Hitmen. They've stayed competitive while also adding a lot of draft picks and some young players. It's going to be a really exciting team in the next couple of years. And if you need just one reason to go Saturday, there's more than that. But if you want to go see Carter Yakimchuk, I tell you, he's going to be a top draft pick in the first round. I guarantee you he's a guy that is just going to command some really top attention. Go for that on Saturday. It's going to be a great night at the Scotiabank Saddledome. Thanks again to Brad for joining us this afternoon. Take a break. Come back on the other side. More on the Flames and the Washington Capitals. That's the game day we're focused on here on Sportsnet 960. Take a look at the Capitals, who have made things very interesting in the Eastern Conference playoff race. They're now just a point back of the Detroit Red Wings heading into Monday's game with the Flames. We'll get the look at the opposition next when Sportsnet Today returns here on Sportsnet 960, The Fan. All right, rolling on a game day for the Calgary Flames. Flames and the Washington Capitals Monday night at the Scotiabank Saddledome. 6:30 start. So get to the Dome early. Only game this week for the Calgary Flames. 5:30, Pat Steinberg has your Flames warm-up. 6:30, Derek Wills, Megan Mickelson on the call of the Flames and the Washington Capitals. Big game for Washington heading into tonight. They've made a push of late and now just a point behind the Detroit Red Wings for the final wildcard spot in the East. Detroit does have two games in hand, but have been playing some terrible hockey of late. They're 2-8 in their last 10 and have let Washington and New York, the Islanders, that is, right back into this conversation. Even squint and see maybe Pittsburgh, Buffalo, 5 points back. The East shaping up to be a lot of fun in Washington. Desperate for 2 points tonight against the Flames. Can tell you that Dustin Wolf makes his third consecutive start for the Calgary Flames. We heard from Ryan Huske in hour one that the plan is to go with Dustin tonight against Washington. But Jacob skate this week and perhaps start Saturday against his former team, the Vancouver Canucks. But after two straight wins, makes sense to go back to number 32 tonight. Only lineup change you'll see on the back end. Nikita Ochocek out for the Calgary Flames. On that third pairing, in comes Joel Hanley to play with Braden Pahal. Everything else staying the same. Still no Connor Zeri for the Calgary Flames. And they'll look to pick up their third straight win against the Washington Capitals Monday. Can also tell you the Flames making a college free agent signing on this Monday. They've announced the signing of college free agent center Sam Morton. He's a native of Lafayette, Colorado, named the CCHA Player of the Year following a career best in conference, leading 24 goals along with 10 assists in 37 games this season. Nine power play markers, which was tied for eighth most in all of college hockey in 2023-2024. He helped Minnesota State reach the semifinals of the Mason Cup. 24 years old, CCHA Forward of the Month in January, when he had 6 goals and 3 assists in 8 games that month. His contract will begin with the 2024-2025 season. He'll be joining the Calgary Wranglers on an amateur tryout for the remainder of the season. It's a 1-year, two-way deal with a $950,000 AAV. He is a 6-foot center, weighing in 185 pounds, left shot. So the Flames making a free agent college signing down, and it'll go to the Calgary Wranglers for the rest of the season. And his contract will kick in next year. So perhaps the Flames giving the Wranglers some depth down the stretch for their season in the American Hockey League. That's the other news for the Calgary Flames. Continue. Flames and Capitals tonight. Flames lost their only meeting to Washington earlier this year, 3-2 in a shootout. Washington's owned this matchup against Calgary of late. They've won 7 of their last 9. They've put up points in 8 of those 9 games, also been really strong on the road. Capitals 6-2-0 in their last 8 road games against the Flames, outscoring them 28-21. I mentioned that playoff push for Washington, 1 point back of the second wildcard spot in the Eastern Conference. Calgary enters action 8 points back of the second wildcard spot in the West. Caps missed the playoffs last year after appearing in the playoffs 14 of their previous 15 years. Washington in their last 14 games, 9-4-1, scoring just over 3.5 goals per game. Their power play humming at a 31.8% clip. Calgary's been good of late, too. Their last 12 out, 8-4. They've got goals per game at 3.75. Power play, not as deadly, 18.9% to go along with the penalty kill, which has been at 86.1%. So the Flames looking to change recent trends against Washington in tonight's matchup and go for their third straight win. Let's check in with the opposition. Bailey Johnston covers the Washington Capitals for the Washington Post. She checked in with our own Patrick Dumas a little earlier on the big show to give you the latest on the Washington Capitals ahead of tonight's matchup with the Flames.
Let's talk to you about about the Washington Capitals. First off, let's talk about TJ Oshie. You know, I played one game 1,000 there against the Canucks on Saturday. I remember TJ Oshie back in 2014 and what he meant in that shootout. And then obviously the Capitals probably don't win a Stanley Cup with him without him in 2018. Just chat to me about what he's meant to this group since he's got to Washington.
He really means everything to them. He's the heart and soul of this team. It's been really, really cool to see for me coming. This is my first year covering the Capitals. Obviously, I knew TJ Oshie and I knew what he meant to the Cavs, but to see it up close every day, I mean, he really is. I know I just said it, but the heart and soul of this team. Mm-hmm. Like, he's such an important leader for them. He is the number one guy who rallies them together. That he had his teammates telling him if he's dealt with injuries this year, and 1,000 looks like it might be a little bit dicey, that they would strap him to their backs if that's what it took to get him to play 1,000 games. So that's what he means to this team, and it was huge for him to both be able to play 1,000. It got a little bit dicey. He left morning skate after about 5 minutes on Saturday morning, and we were all sitting there like, you have to be kidding. Like, is this really going to happen to PJ Oshie on the day he's going to play his 1,000th game? But he gutted it out, he made it through, and they got a huge win as well. So that was a really special day for the whole franchise.
Yeah, that was a massive win. And the Capitals have been playing some super good hockey of late. Last 14 games, they're 9-4-1, has seen them get right back into the Eastern wildcard hunt here, just 1 point back of that final spot. What has been the trigger here with the Capitals that has seen them play so much better here over the last 3 weeks or so?
It really starts in net with Charlie Lindgren. He's been unbelievable pretty much all year. And as the team had a little bit of a dip coming out of the Christmas break, he kind of went down with them. But since All-Star, he's been rock solid, even in the games where things get a little bit ugly for them, like Winnipeg, or he lost 8-3 in Detroit a couple weeks ago. He's so good in every single one of his other starts that it doesn't seem to rattle him. It doesn't seem to affect his overall game that much. And when they need to win a game, it's him that they turn to in net. So that's a huge piece of it. They've also gotten really good production from their young players, guys like Connor McMichael, Hendrix LaPierre, even Ivan Marochnichenko, who's only been in the lineup for the last 5 or 6 games, has been really strong, kind of pulling together with the veterans to get a little bit more offense going. They're playing really strong defensive hockey as well, and it's all working for them right now for the most part.
There you go. Bailey Johnson joining Patrick Dumas and Garrett Vanderplug on the Big Show earlier today, chatting all things Capitals. For a look at the opposition, the lone visit for Washington to Calgary this season, and it's tonight. Dustin Wolf is your starting goaltender for the Calgary Flames. 6:30 puck drop again, reminder, a little earlier tonight at the Dome than usual. That means our Flames coverage starts at 5:30 with Pat Steinberg. That'll do it for us today. Thank you to my outstanding producers, Connor and Taylor, for their great work. Thanks to Emily Sadler and Brad Curl for joining us here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.